from Ringler, this is Ringler Radio, a podcast where we keep you current on the latest news from the settlement industry, updates on nationwide litigation, trends in the legal and insurance industries, and everything in between. Ringler has been helping injured people and their families since 1975. So when it comes to objective settlement solutions, the consultants at Ringler are your go-to experts.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to Ringler Radio. I'm your host, Matt Ross. I hope each of you had a wonderful holiday season. With all that has happened in 2022, especially in the financial markets, we wanted to invite Ringler's interim CEO, Peter Jackham, to share his thoughts around the macroeconomic trends happening and what it means to the various parties involved in a settlement. Let's listen in. Peter Jackham, welcome to Ringler Radio.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be with you today.
I'm excited to have you as a guest. For our audience, could you give a brief background of your experience as the interim CEO at Ringler?
Well, I've been on the board of directors of Ringler for roughly 6 years. And during that time, I worked closely with management on investments, product development, strategic sense of the company. And then I was asked to step in as president and chief executive officer on an interim basis last June. Most of my career, though, was spent working directly with insurance companies, but as either an investment banker or a strategic consultant. And then I also worked in private equity, again, almost exclusively insurance. And the two most recent things that I did, I was president of a hedge fund in New York, Weiss Multi-Strategy Advisors, with a focus on how insurance companies could invest in hedge fund assets. And then before that, I headed up the investment bank at Guy Carpenter, which is an insurance brokerage, and also spent a lot of time with them on developing their life reinsurance business.
All right. So we are recording this episode in December of 2022, and 2022 was a wild year by anyone's measure. The World Cup just ended. The financial markets are volatile right now. And I think a lot of people have a lot to look forward to in 2023. And so I'm curious if for our audience, sitting where you're seated at Ringler and also with your background, I was hoping you can give some of your thoughts to the immediate financial outlook in 2023 and even into 2024 if you're open to it.
Well, I think everything begins with prospects for inflation. And I think probably the best way to talk about this is, first of all, to look at what the markets and the Fed are currently telling us about inflation. And then from there, talk about how that affects our business and how it affects structured settlements and structured settlement annuities. And right now, you're getting different signals on inflation. Essentially, the Fed is saying that we need to keep interest rates high because inflation is proving to be perhaps more intractable than they originally thought. European markets are saying the same thing. And of course, Europe now is worse than the United States is, with 10% plus rates of inflation in most European countries. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, you have the shape of the yield curve, which right now is inverted, meaning that short-term interest rates are higher than longer-term interest rates. And that would lead you to believe that inflation's not going to go on that long, that mm-hmm. maybe we start to see that break down in 2023, even early 2024. And that's the point of view that the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, has also taken when she's had recent interviews.
Okay. All right. So for people that have a injury that they're considering as a whole, you know, for the longest time, interest rates have been really suppressed. They have been trying to find yield. They've been trying to, you know, figure out something for their settlement to last them for however long that they need it to last for, based upon their injury. So when you think about what's happening in the macroeconomic sphere, what are some things that people who are in that decision-making process right now should be considering when it comes to their financial futures?
Well, I think it also goes to elements of financial planning and how individuals manage risk, either explicitly or implicitly, in their financial plans. And one of the great things about a structured settlement annuity in almost every investing environment is it provides a base with extremely low risk that then means that somebody might be able to take risk in other areas that would give them increased market returns. So, you know, I think there are fundamental ways of looking at personal finance and risk that are applicable to almost every market environment, but particularly to what we're going to see next year. Now, if you think of some of these macro factors, like potential for recession, like increased inflation, that probably points to more market volatility going forward than we've had recently. Mm-hmm. So that sense of having the security of a structured settlement is more important, I think, going ahead into 2023 than, you know, clearly what we saw during COVID when it looked like the stock market was going to be going straight up. And the other factor, of course, is with the increase in interest rates, structured settlement annuities provide a good and very competitive rate of return relative to everything else in the market right now. So it's almost like a win-win situation, you know, lower risk and at the same time, really good returns currently.
Everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. And it you know, for a logical person who's looking at this thing from a nuts and bolts standpoint, yes, do it. Sign me up. Thumbs up. All in. But I'm going to use an example right now, and I'm curious to how you're going to respond. When someone wins the lottery, the odds of them taking the annuity payment over time are slim to none. And the majority of them take the lump sum payment. And I would probably chalk that up to wanting instant gratification, wanting that security, that safety you were talking about, so they can go out and maybe take risk on their own. Why should someone consider at least maybe a portion of their overall settlement being set aside into something guaranteed, even though everything within them is saying, oh, I really want that boat. I really want that car. I really want this and that, right? I mean, it's human nature. We make irrational decisions all the time. So why should someone actually make that guarantee play when it comes to their financial future?
You know, unfortunately, most claimants and a lot of the people that we're working with on structured settlements are injured. They need the money to last for a period of time. They need to make sure that they keep purchasing power on those assets, that it continues to provide their needs. And it's really important, both from a cash flow and from a return basis then, to have something like an annuity for at least a significant portion of those assets. And I think that's where it's very different than the lottery winner, who's probably, you know, most cases healthy, still working, and mm-hmm. you know, more interested in high living rather than providing, you know, really what they need going forward.
Yeah.
But right now, structured settlements look really good because your risk on it is extremely low,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting, you know, 4% on it at the same time that what were considered traditional low risk ways of investing, like a 60-40 portfolio, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, well, that had terrible performance over the past year, and the returns are correlated.
Mm-hmm.
And or rather, the lack of returns was correlated. And right now, with structured settlements, you've got very little risk and, you know, pretty nice return at 4%.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a really good time to buy a structured settlement. There are also people out there, and I'll just throw them out there, attorneys sometimes, where they'll say, look, inflation's rising right now. Why would I put my client into something that's fixed and guaranteed when if interest rates continue to rise, it'll eat away at their actual spending power on every check that they get over time? How would you respond to that?
Well, I don't think inflation is going to be a long-term factor in the United States. It might be around for 2 or 3 years, but you mentioned the World Cup in Argentina before. Well, I don't think that we're going to go the way of Argentina in the World Cup right away.
No.
I also don't think we're going the way of Argentina with regard to inflation. I think there's enough of a sense in the U.S. that that needs to stop, whether that comes from government or business or investors. And already you see the Fed, as we were talking about before, taking action to rein in inflation. So, you know, if it's 2, 3, 4 years, I think that's the kind of horizon that we're looking for, rather than this becomes a permanent embedded part of the U.S. economy. Now, you can look at that two different ways, and either way, it points to the value of a structured settlement annuity. If you think this goes on maybe a longer period of time, you're taking the Fed point of view, what you're going to see is markets are going to get choppy. That Fed point of view increases the potential for a recession, increases the potential for stock market volatility in the near term. So the structured settlement annuity, if you're thinking about it in those Sharpe ratio terms, return versus unit of risk, is going to look very good if we get into even choppier markets in 2023. Mm. Now, if you take the other scenario and you say inflation is going to be really short-lived in the United States, and it's going to look more like, you know, inflation coming back down to a normal level by, say, early 2024, meaning it gets down to the 2% level, interest rates will come down along with that. And if you've bought into a structured settlement annuity now, you're probably going to get fantastic returns relative to what might be in the future. So in either inflation scenario, I believe the structured settlement annuity looks really good, and it's a really good time to do it.
It's just steady. It is consistent, and it's something that you can bake on.
Right.
Excuse the pun. But yeah, it's that safety net that folks need to, and like you said earlier, to kind of just launch into whatever they're trying to do, maybe potentially take some risk elsewhere where they can from a financial standpoint. I'm wondering if you could put your insurance hat on with me. I know you've worked with a lot of insurance companies in the past, but not like you said, not necessarily being employed by one, but worked with a lot of them before. So if you're a CFO of an insurance company and you're seeing the market indicators that you've talked about already today, and you haven't necessarily utilized structured settlements as a claim solution in the past, what are they missing out on? How can they potentially enhance their operation with structured settlements involved?
Well, Matt, you know, I mentioned earlier that most of my career was as an investment banker for insurance companies. So I spent a lot of time with CFOs talking about capital planning and their cost of capital, meaning if they have equity, debt, what does that capital employed in the business really cost them?
So the cost of money to do their business.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And in the past couple of years, they've been dealing with a really low cost of capital. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are very low. Insurance stocks were mostly, you know, fairly even. They're, you know, really very good performers. So,
profit margins have been good then, in theory, if it's cheap to do business.
On an underwriting basis, they were. They weren't making that much money on the assets, or not as much as they were in the past. But on an underwriting basis, it was pretty good. And in that regard, you know, a lot of them took some real losses in the past year with all the catastrophes and increase in claims costs. But, you know, it looks like they're getting that back. Like they're, you know, there's premium rates are really going up. But so it's still a pretty good period. But if we, you know, if you take the current market and you look at increases in interest rates, and then you also look at volatility in stock prices, what that means is that a company's cost of capital has gone up considerably from where it would have been 2 years ago. Now, if you're a CFO of a company, you've got a lot of ways that you can manage your capital. Mm-hmm. You can sell stock, you can buy stock, you can issue debt. You can bind your bonds. You can go to a reinsurance company and do reinsurance as another source of capital. And if you think of settlements broadly, that is yet another tool that you can use to manage your capital position. And right now, with the cost of capital going up, if you can look at your reserves, take your liabilities, and you find a way, in effect, to defease those liabilities using a settlement annuity, that is a huge win in terms of dropping liabilities into the capital account. And relative to other sources of capital, it's one of the most cost-effective things that you can do in managing your capital position.
Well, it probably improves your balance sheet considerably. It makes it more efficient at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a marginal call. It's not going to be as much money in the overall context of the insurance company as, say, you know, issuing common stock or something like that. But at the margin, and especially in the current environment with higher cost of capital, you have to look at it and say, well, you know, why wouldn't you do this if you're a property casualty company because of the beneficial impact?
Well, would you say that this might actually be, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, but mutual companies, so companies that aren't traded publicly and are actually owned by the policyholders, it might actually have a larger impact because they can't as easily raise money as quickly as maybe a stock company could by issuing common stock.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, if you're a CFO of a mutual insurance company, you have fewer levers and dials that you can use to manage your capital and your returns, so that this becomes even more important than it would be for a stock company.
Yeah, their combined ratio and loss ratios are so much more important in that regard. And if they can involve in structured settlement sooner on in the process, they could potentially settle for less overall. Now, honestly, every case is different. Every situation is different, right? But in theory, if they are able to transfer that liability off of their balance sheets, drop that reserve down by transferring that obligation to someone else to take on over time, especially in the comp world. It could help them. Could it not?
Most definitely. Yes. Yeah. You know, at the marginal decision, it's a very powerful element of managing a capital position.
Okay. So I'm going to, I think, transfer our conversation finally to the R word. And it's a word that economists kind of maybe get a little nervous about. It's recession. And I, for some reason, the definition of recession has changed over the past 12 months for whatever reason. I remember in business school as, hey, two consecutive quarters of negative GDP, you're in a recession. But now it doesn't seem to necessarily be that case. I'm curious, with that, this potential either recession we're in now or the looming recession that's coming, how will that affect the settlement industry as a whole and, frankly, claims in general?
Well, I think the recession is going to look a little bit different than some of the recessions we've seen before, like the 2007-2008 period. You know, back then you had a massive contraction in the economy, and you also had really high levels of unemployment as a result. Mm-hmm. You know, right now we're seeing really low levels of unemployment. That's somewhat also balanced by a decrease in the number of people in the workforce. But, you know, we're well under 4% in terms of unemployment rates, which is really not what you usually see in a recession.
Well, Peter, okay. I have a theory about that. I think there's a lot more TikToking and YouTubing going on now, and less people are in the workforce because of it. But that's just my opinion anyway.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And actually, some of the, you know, like the Wall Street Journal articles have pointed out that that same thing. So if we are in a recession and we're looking at one in the next year, I think it's going to still be buoyed by some of the inflationary impacts. We've got a long ways to go before there's significant unemployment. And in terms of the factors that really drive our business, our industry, you know, insurance claims continue to go up. There's an inflationary factor on that. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are doing well. And if unemployment stays at this level, it probably means that the level of claims keeps on moving along too. So I think it's going to be, if there is a recession, my guess is it's relatively mild. It's structurally different than, you know, maybe what we saw in 2007, 2008. And, you know, particularly for insurance companies, settlement annuities, Ringler's own business, I think there can actually, it could be a positive environment rather than a negative one.
Peter, your insights have been phenomenal. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure.
Before we go, if you're a fan of Ringler Radio, be sure to like and subscribe to the show on all the major podcast platforms and follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook. We'd also like to thank our Ringler Radio sponsors, American General Life Company, MetLife, Mutual of Omaha, New York Life, Pacific Life, Prudential, and USAA. To learn more about working with Ringler in 2023, contact your local Ringler consultant by locating them at www.ringlerassociates.com.
Ringler Radio is a production of Ringler Associates. All of the opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not represent any legal, tax, or financial advice from Ringler Associates. For more information about how to work with Ringler, visit www.ringlerassociates.com.